Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. We'll read this verse. I got more verses that I'm going to share with you, but we'll read this verse and then we'll pray, and then you can be seated. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Thank you, worship team. The title of this message is Living Christ. Living Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. When you're there, give me a strong amen. Amen. And they're also going to put it on the screen there. Amen. The Word of God reads like this. Grace and peace to you. Look to your neighbor, tell them, to you. Grace and peace to you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever the living Christ is living in you, you have grace and peace. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. Bless the reading of your word to our hearts. I pray that you would use me tonight to minister your word, God. Let Christ be exalted here tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want you to turn your Bibles now, or actually just go down to verse 12. Philippians chapter 1. Now go down, just skip down to verse 12, and we're going to read through verse 30. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." So what happened to Paul is that he was locked up. Has anybody ever been locked up? You don't have to answer that. Amen. He was locked up for the gospel. "And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." In other words, Paul is saying that because he was willing to get locked up for the gospel, it's caused others to be more brave to preach the gospel. In other words, if Paul ain't afraid to be locked up for preaching, then why should we be afraid to be locked up for preaching? If Paul could be locked up for preaching, then surely we can take a little persecution also.
All right, that's right.
Then he goes on, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry." Paul had some competition, some enemies. "But others out of godliness. Goodwill, I mean. But others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains." Now understand this. Remember, Paul is locked up for preaching the gospel. So the ones that he says that are preaching out of ill will, he says they're doing it because they want to cause more trouble for me, because they want the officials to blame me for what they're doing. So their preaching is actually preaching because they're really trying to get me more in trouble. But then there's others that are preaching, and they're preaching not to get me more in trouble, but they're really preaching because they love God and they love the gospel. But listen to what he says next. "But what does it matter?" Come on,
somebody. Come on, Pastor.
He said, it don't matter. Who cares? This is what he says. "The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached."
Come on now. Yeah.
living Christ.
Right.
Huh? It don't matter as long as Jesus is preached.
Amen.
As long as Jesus is being known.
Amen.
As long as Jesus is entering into hearts.
Amen.
I don't care. He says, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice.
Yes.
For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me would turn out for my deliverance.
Amen. Amen.
Let me tell you something. Becoming a Christian and being a Christian and being saved and on fire is not always going to be peaches and cream. Just because you get blessed doesn't mean that, you know, that's a sign, you know, of, you know, my friend. Sometimes being a Christian means that you're going to go through stuff.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Sometimes being a Christian means that you're going to get persecuted.
Amen. Yeah,
yeah. Talked about.
Yeah.
Thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Mad dogged.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. It happened to Paul. It happened to Jesus. It happened to us.
Yeah.
Huh? He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body.
Amen.
In other words, he's saying, I want people to see Jesus in my life, amen, whether by life or by death. For to me, check this out, to live is Christ,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and to die is gain.
Yeah. Amen.
Ooh, come on now.
Fire.
It says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. In other words, this will mean more time for me to put in work. Did anybody ever put in work for the neighborhood? Come on, somebody. Paul is saying, if I continue on living, that means I'm just going to keep on putting in work for Christ. Then he says, yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between two. I desire to depart, in other words, to die,
come on now,
and be with Christ. Why? Because for the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
And Paul is saying, listen, I'm kind of torn in two, man, because, man, if I was to die, if I was to depart, that means I get to be with Jesus, my Savior.
Amen. Amen.
That should be the number one desire for every Christian.
Amen.
Is to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Wow. I want to be with Jesus all the days of my life.
Amen.
I want to be in the presence of God all the days of my life. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. There is peace evermore.
Yes.
Amen.
He says, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. You say, man, that takes the cake.
Yeah, yeah.
To be with Jesus takes the cake. But he says, but it is more necessary for you,
come on,
that I remain in the body.
Wow.
That's right.
He's saying, but for you, church,
yeah,
it's better that I stay.
Yep.
Huh? So I can continue to build you up.
Mm.
So I can continue to equip you. So I can continue to pour the Jesus that's inside of me into you.
Amen. That's right, Pastor.
Huh? That's what he's saying. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, how many know that's the type of Christians we need?
Come on,
yes, yes.
But we need the type of that whatever happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Venga lo que se venga.
Come on, come on.
Huh? DFW, down for whatever. That's the type of Christians we need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever happens, he says, whatever happens, whether I die or live, he says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ.
Because
it's all about Christ.
Yes,
tell your neighbor, it's all about Christ. He says, then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. See, that's the problem for the Christians that don't want to suffer. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here that I still have.
Wow.
You're saying, listen, to live for Christ, you're going to go through some struggles, but it's okay.
That's right.
It's okay, because at the end, listen, we always win. At the end, listen, the joy that I have, the world can't take it away.
Yeah.
The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I also want to look at Galatians chapter 2 now, verse 11 through 21. I'm going somewhere. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. It's on the screen also. Listen to what this is. Now, if you ever get kind of distracted, or if you ever kind of get discouraged because of church drama.
Yeah.
Because how many know drama happens in the church?
Yeah.
Come on now.
We're broken people.
Come on.
We're not perfect people.
No.
The drama happens in the church. There ain't no perfect church. There ain't no drama-free church. Because even the first church had drama, and we're going to read about this drama here now. But we're going to read also how Jesus still gets the glory. Here in Galatians 2, 11 through 21, it says, when Cephas is Peter. You know Peter who walked on water? Yeah, him. When Cephas, Peter, came to Antioch, Paul says, I opposed him to his face. He rebuked Peter. Walking on water, Peter got dealt with. But he didn't run and leave the church. He didn't go talk about Paul. Matter of fact, he talked good about Paul. But that's another preaching. He says, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, that was another pastor, that was the brother of Jesus, he used to eat with the Gentiles.
Wow.
In other words, he was eating pork chops with us.
Yeah.
I mean, he was having ham and, you know, ham hocks and pig feet. Come on, somebody. But then all of a sudden the homies came along. And he spit the ham out. Oh, come on, somebody. So it says, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself. For some of you that don't understand that, Jews didn't eat pork.
Yeah, come on.
But here, Peter had a mouthful of it.
Come on.
It was offensive. If other Jews found out you were eating pork and the things you weren't supposed to be eating, other Jews didn't eat, they threw stones at you. It says, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Because from all the pork breaths. That's me right here. Amen. From the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw this, well, I'm going somewhere now. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel,
come on now.
I said to Peter, Cephas, in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?
Mm-hmm.
We who are Jews by birth are not sinful Gentiles. We who are Jews by birth are not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, it's all about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not about the works of the law.
Yeah.
It's not about what you eat.
Come on.
It's about Jesus.
Yeah. About the law.
Dying on the cross for your sins.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Good news.
Hallelujah.
It's about Jesus forgiving you.
Amen.
That's what it's about.
Right.
It's not about how well you can preach, how well you can sing, how well you can usher, how well you can be in the home, how well you can. It's not about how well you can quote the Bible, how well you can read the scripture. It's about Jesus. Thank God you can do those things. If those things don't save you, Jesus saves you. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? In other words, he's saying, look, just because, you know, God gave us the green light to eat pork, and so we're eating pork, you know, and we're eating these things and we're doing these things, then that means that Christ is giving us the green light to sin. No, it doesn't mean that Christ is giving you the green light to sin. It means that Christ saves you. He forgives you. His blood washes you of your sins. And you don't have to try to press and try. No, my friend, listen, Jesus himself will give you the power. He'll give you the love for him.
Right.
To walk with him.
Good
passion. So it says, but in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners. Doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God.
Amen. That's good.
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Right.
So therefore, if Christ lives in me, Christ walks through me. And that's what keeps me.
Right.
Not me in my own strength, but Christ living in me keeps me. He says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. In short, listen. There's nothing you can do to receive salvation.
Come on. Right.
In short, listen, your efforts, there's no good deed that you can do to receive salvation. Salvation is free when you accept Jesus into your heart. I know it's hard to believe for some people that live wicked lives. So for some people that live lives lying all their life, stealing all their life, cheating all their life, living a double life. Listen, there's some people that have lived like that for years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, cheating people, ripping people off, lying to people, hurting people. Listen, I'm here to tell you, you ain't got to live that life no longer. I don't care if you're 15 or you're 30 or you're 60. No matter how old you are, Jesus can come into your life and forgive you of all your sins, and you ain't got to carry the guilt of that no more. Some people keep on living that way because they carry that guilt, and it's the only way they know how to live. I used to keep on doing drugs and selling drugs because that was the only way I knew how to live. Oh, but then when I learned that I could have a clean slate by accepting Jesus into my heart, when I learned that I could have a second chance, I said, I'm going to take it. I'll accept Jesus into my heart, and I'll begin to live this new life that he has called me to live. It's like having a rap sheet, right? It's like having a rap sheet and you had all these felonies on your record. Come on, somebody. But all of a sudden, Jesus cleans up that record. And no longer when you go to fill out an application, do you have to put that, have you ever been convicted of a felony? You can put no. Come on, somebody. In the spiritual.
Yeah.
In the physical, you still got to put yes. Hello, somebody. Put yes, but then also put, but Jesus.
Well.
Oh, you ain't hearing me. I'll say, you ain't hearing me. Even if you're a convicted felon, put yes. Oh, but Jesus. Oh, but Jesus came into my life back in 2010, back in the year 2000. And let me tell you what he done for me. He made me into a new creation in Christ Jesus. And no longer do I steal. No longer do I lie. No longer do I commit fraud. Because Jesus changed my life. See, Paul here, the Apostle Paul, was in a strait between life and death. He was stuck between, man, life and death. Man, death sounds good because I can be with Jesus. Huh? We're talking about Christ living. We're talking about living Christ. And the Apostle Paul, he was stuck between two. He's like, man, I know that if I die, it's a good thing. It's an awesome thing. It's a great thing because I get to be with Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Have you ever had somebody in your life that you love to hang around with? Come on now. Huh? Right? Come on. To me, it's my wife. Come on, somebody. I love to hang around my wife.
Amen.
She loves to hang around me.
Amen.
But how, have you ever had another friend, right, that or somebody or a mentor or a leader or something that just, like, you just like to be around them?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they hook you up all the time. I don't know. They take you out to eat. They bless your game. You know, right? Or maybe it's just because they make you feel good.
Amen.
Have you ever known somebody like that?
Yeah.
Maybe you haven't, you know. But listen, with Jesus, that's how it is with Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is somebody that when you get around him, you can't help but to want to be around him. You can't help but to say, can I spend the night? Hello, somebody. It was like when I was little, I remember going visiting other family members, right? You know, go fit and visiting other tios, tias, whatever, you know. And then at the end of the night, right? At the end of, you know, remember when we weren't saved? At the barbecues, the parties, right? You know, the family gatherings, right? At the end of the night, you know, when the parents were already all buzzing and stuff, right? We'd walk up to dad and mom. What would you say? Can I spend the
night?
Come on, somebody. Right? Now, you didn't say that in every Diaz house. Because some Diaz houses were haunted houses. Well, hello, somebody. We don't believe in that video. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm coming from. Right, like, man, you just couldn't wait to go. Amen. Once the sun went down, dad, we gotta go. But then there was that one deal. It's like they had the Nintendo.
Yeah.
The Atari. Come on, the Monopoly. Come on now. The good food. I mean, they had food in the refrigerator. We did it, amen. So we wanted to stay where the food was. Amen. Come on now. And they have the good snacks, amen.
Yes, Lord.
Huh? Come on now. Yeah. And it's like you love to be at their house. You love to be around them. Listen, Jesus is like that 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 times more. When you're in the presence of Jesus, it's like you want to be there. You don't want to leave. You want to spend the night. You want to stay the weekend. Come on, you want to be with God. And that's what Paul is saying. Oh, it is much better for me to go to be with Jesus. To be, even though I got to die, even though I got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that on the other side is Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the soon coming King, the great champion of all time, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Paul was like, man, I want to go be with Jesus. But I also love you guys. I also love my people. I also love my church. And so I want to be with Jesus, but I love you too, but I love Jesus more.
Yeah. Come on. That's good.
But I know you guys need me.
Hello.
And I love you too.
Yeah, we love you.
And I know Jesus has a mission for me.
Come on,
man. So I'm torn in two. I can be with Jesus, but then I can if I can be with Jesus, but if I stay alive and I'm here with you, then I'm just gonna live for Jesus. I'm just gonna live Jesus out. I'm just gonna let Jesus walk through my body. I'm just gonna let Jesus use my mouth and use my hands and use my feet to mend broken people. Isn't that the song that we sing? I wanna spend my life mending broken people. Brother Jose, that should be your heart. Don't want to spend your life mending broken men. Is there any men in the home that have the heart of Jesus? They say, don't matter what's going on in the world. I want to use my life to mend broken people. Is there any women in the women's home that say, you know what? I want to spend my life mending broken people. youth in the house and say, I want to make an impact for the honor and the glory of God. I want to help people, Paul was saying. Either way, he was blessed. For to him to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So why you ain't got to be afraid of death?
Come on now.
If you're a Christian,
come on.
If you're saved, if you're in a relationship with Jesus,
yes, it's true.
Get some bad news? Praise God. Praise God. Bad news for you. Because you ain't going to be blessed with my presence no more. Well, it's really not my presence. It's the presence of Jesus in me. I love the presence of Jesus in me. Oh, come on, somebody. I love the presence of Jesus in people. Listen, I ain't no dummy. I know that Jesus just don't live in me. He lives inside of you. Come on, somebody. And I love the Jesus in you. Come on now. Because the Jesus in you makes you generous. The Jesus in you makes you smile. The Jesus in you makes me feel good. I like that. The Jesus in you. Huh? For Paul, to live is Christ. To die is gain. See, many people are bound too much to this earthly life.
Wow.
There's too many that are bound too much to earth life. To earth life. You remember, right? I seen it on the news. They're raiding Area 51. I've seen it on the news. You see it? They're true. They had it all planned. They've been planning it the whole year to raid Area 51. So I was reading the article. One guy had a sign that said, "Free ET." Come on, somebody. Right? Wow. Right? What was that sign? Earth took two. I don't remember. Anyways.
ET phone home.
There you go. Got an ET fan right here. ET phone home, right? Huh? But you know why E.T. didn't phone home? Because he was too bound to this earth. He made friends with this world. Let me tell you something. This world ain't my home.
Come on,
let me tell you something. You're a Christian. This world ain't your home. I know that you like your car. I know that you like your crib. I know, and that's great, amen. I know that there's nothing bad about that. But listen, you gotta know that this world ain't your home. Be willing to let it go when Jesus comes parting the sky. Be willing to say, kiss your home goodbye. Kiss that lowrider goodbye. Kiss that car. Kiss the Cowboys goodbye. I want to go where there is no sickness. I want to go where Jesus kisses away the pain. I want to know where there is no hunger. There is no violence. There is nothing but Jesus. Don't you get tired of being stressed out? Don't you get tired of all the bills coming? Come on, somebody. Nobody writes me, but Bill does. Oh, Bill's faithful. Come on, somebody. He even puts it sometimes on pink paper. Don't love you. Oh, we ain't gonna have to be that when we're with Jesus. But there's too many. When Jesus comes, they're gonna be bound to this earth. Some people might say, for me to live is business. For me to live is to make money. Money, 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 money. Money. And there's literally people that live to make money. That's why they ain't got time for church. They ain't got time to pray. They ain't got time to read their Bible. Because to them, to live is money, is business. To some, they say, for me to live is pleasure. Pleasure. They travel far and wide for pleasure. Listen, I like to travel, a lot of times I travel, it's not for pleasure.
Wow.
It's for ministry. Yeah. It's for Jesus.
Yeah.
It's to preach Jesus.
Yeah.
It's to live for Jesus.
Yeah.
It's to raise up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But too many, for them to live is pleasure.
Wow.
Pleasure, where's the next restaurant I'm going to eat at?
Wow.
What's the next movie I'm going to see? It's all good, listen, every once in a while, but if that's all life is for you. To some, it says, for me to live is not Jesus, is not Christ, but for some, they say, for me to live is fame. Fame. There's so many Hollywood art rappers, Hollywood famous people, to them to live is fame. Fame, come on somebody, I wonder like, When is Rocky Balboa gonna stop making movies? I like
Grandma,
Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
I can't mess with him, amen. I'm gonna go see it, amen.
Yeah.
Let's go see it, amen. I'm just doing it to prove what some to live is fame.
Yeah.
For some say for me to live is the daily round of duties. It's just the daily routine. Get up, make my bed, go to work, come home from work, cook dinner, eat dinner, go to sleep, get up in the morning again, make my bed, drink my coffee, go to work, put in my 8 to 9, my 8 to 5, go home, cook dinner, feed the dog, watch news, go to bed, day in, day out. Some people, for them to live, is just their daily routine. This is why I love Victory Outreach. That we're a church with a mission. We're a church with a vision. We're a church that has a purpose. We have a purpose not just to exist, but to live for Christ, to make an impact for Christ, to do something for Christ. We want to shape the world for Christ. And then there's some, check this out, that are religious. And they say, for me to live is the church.
Help us.
They're just churchy.
Yeah.
But there's no relationship.
Yeah, it's true.
You gotta be careful that you just don't become churchy.
Yeah.
And then they put on church, but they don't put on Christ. You gotta put on Christ. Anybody can put on a suit and tie and heels and a drag. Listen, but can you put on Christ?
Come on.
But Paul said, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. That's what to live is. To live is Christ. There are various phases of living for Christ. Four phases of living Christ that I want to give you tonight. One, live from Christ. Live from Christ. Get that. Say it with me. Live from
Christ.
If you're going to have living Christ, you have to learn to live from Christ. In other words, you have to know that He is the source of life itself. He is the source of life itself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, He is your source. You want life? You need Jesus. No Jesus, no life.
Amen.
He is the source of life. He is the source of life. He is the vine and we are the branches. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 15. It's on the screen. Listen to what he says. Jesus says, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Some of you are going through some pruning right now. You're in a season of pruning. So that it will be even more fruitful. Right now the pruning don't feel good, but just wait, stay, because a breakthrough is going to happen. Because he's just positioning you for more fruit. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me because I'm the source. Jesus, remain in me as I also remain in you. Because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is a fake plant. So don't get mad at me, ladies. Honey, please don't get mad at me. It's a fake plant. It looks alive.
Yeah,
it's good. Right? It's good. This leaf right here looks alive. This leaf right here looks alive, right? Looks alive. But
oh, come on.
If you cut it off, it's gonna die.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, honey. Right?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's no longer connected. It's no longer connected to the vine.
That's right.
And that is how many of us, that is how it is for us as humans. If we don't stay connected to Jesus, He's the source of life. If we don't stay connected through a relationship, if we don't stay connected through prayer, if we don't stay connected through the Word, if we don't stay connected through the church, if we don't stay connected, we will eventually die off. We'll eventually wither away.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true, Pastor.
And He says, listen, I'm the source of life. I am your source. I am your nutrition. So you must stay connected. Not only that, Romans 11:17, it says, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap of the olive roots. Jesus is that olive root. Jesus says, if some have been cut off, He was talking about the Jews. The Jews that got cut off because they did not believe. They did not believe. They didn't believe in the promises of Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus was a Messiah. So they were cut off. And this is why Apostle Paul and many of the apostles, they started to preach to the Gentiles, and a revival came to the Gentiles. What is a Gentile? A Gentile is a non-Jew. First of all, Jesus came to the Jews and He preached to the Jews. Then He says, listen, His ministry was to the Jews. He says, first let's preach in Jerusalem. We got to give the people of the kingdom of God first dibs. But God in His sovereignty and His understanding, He knew that those Jews were going to reject Him. But He had it all orchestrated. He says, you know what? The Jews are going to reject me, but I'm going to go to the Gentiles, and there's going to be a big revival, and it's going to cause the Jews to get jealous. And in the end times, the Bible says in the last days, there's going to be a revival amongst all the Jews. Mark my words. Not my words, the words of Jesus, because that's what the Bible says. In the last days, there's going to be a revival for all the children of Israel. They're going to get saved. And they also, too, are going to be connected to the vine, the source of life.
Amen.
See, created life is given and sustained by Jesus. All created life, even trees, everything is, the Bible says everything was made by Him and through Him. Nothing was made that has been made except through Him, Jesus. You know that Jesus, He wasn't just in the New Testament. Jesus was also in Genesis chapter 1.
Amen.
You got to study it. It says, and let us make man in our own image. Who's us? Who's our? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Jesus was there present in creation.
Yeah, right.
Huh? And He is the source of all life. Everything was made by Him and through Him.
Amen.
He is the source of life. Debt, listen. We have to, again, remember, we got to live from Christ. Draw our strength from Jesus. Quit trying to live on your own strength, on your own ability. We must live from Christ. Death is the result of sin. Death's penalty is blotted out by the blood of Jesus. The penalty of death is blotted out by the blood of Jesus. This is why he's our. This is why he gives life. This is why when we get saved, we become new creations and we have life. Because Jesus gives us that life. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken away, nailing it to the cross. We find new life in Christ. Our new life is sustained by Jesus.
Amen.
How do you stay saved? Stay connected to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
When you worship Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
When you give to Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
When you serve Jesus.
Yes.
See, the problem is you stay disconnected because you start to when you start to serve, you're serving people. No, you're supposed to be serving Jesus.
Amen.
You serve Jesus.
Amen.
You serve people, but you know that when you're serving people, you're serving Jesus.
Right.
When you give, you know you're giving here to you know the church, but it's giving to Jesus.
Amen. Right.
See, that becomes your source. You draw strength from that. You draw strength from that. We must understand our new life is sustained by Him. Second, the second phase is you got to not only, what was the first one? Live from Christ, but you got to live for Christ. Live for Christ. Romans 14 verse 8 says, if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord.
Amen.
The second phase is live for Christ. Live from Christ, but then you got to live for Christ. In other words, He is the end purpose. He is the goal of our lives. Live for Christ. You got to understand that we are His. We belong to Him. We have been bought with a price, the Bible says. He has bought us with His shed blood and sacrificial death.
Amen.
Live for Jesus. There's no better thing to do than to live for Jesus.
Amen.
The best thing you can do is to live for Christ. If we live, we live for the Lord.
Amen.
There's too many people that are living for other things.
Amen.
They're living for themselves. They're living for another cause. Save the whales. Save this, save that. The only one that can save you is Jesus.
Amen.
Save the whales. Save the rhinoceros. You need to get saved. Who's going to save you? Live for Christ. Live for Christ. I guarantee you, if you live for Christ, you'll do a lot better saving other people.
Amen. Amen.
Saving the whales. Help somebody.
Come on
now. Because Jesus makes us better citizens. Come on, somebody. Huh? Now, you may not save the catfish. Amen. Jesus ate fish and bread. Hello, somebody. Fish and bread kept a hungry man fed. Amen. The third phase. First was live for Christ, live from Christ. Second, live for Christ. Thirdly, live with Christ.
Amen.
Live with Christ. Matthew 28:20 says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is the Great Commission. He's saying, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and teach all your disciples to obey everything. How in the world are we going to do this? Jesus gives the answer. He says, and surely I am with you always. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Yes.
Live with Christ.
Yes. Amen.
He shares our lives with us.
Right. Right.
Remember that next time you want to call somebody number one on the highway. But using the other finger. Hello, somebody. Because they cut you off. Right? Remember, Jesus shares your life with you. Huh? Huh? He shares our lives with us. If we're a Christian, He shares our lives with us. How happy is the home where Christ is the head of this house? The unseen guest at every meal. The silent listener to every conversation. How happy is the home where Christ is the head of that house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Woo! Man.
Come on, it's heavy, Pastor.
Huh? How different would our lives be if we were to practice the presence of Jesus Christ all the time?
Wow.
That's crazy.
We have to, as Christians, practice the presence of Jesus.
Yeah, it's true.
Practice when you're arguing with your wife, remember Jesus is there.
Wow.
Huh? When you're arguing with your boss, remember that Jesus is there.
Wow.
Because maybe you'll control yourself. Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah, it's true, Pastor.
Come on now. How much different would our lives would be if we were conscious that Jesus is there with me? Live with Christ. Live your life like Christ is really right next to you. Live your life like He's right next to you. He's there with you every single day, every single moment, every single second. He's watching what you watch. He's listening to what you're listening to. He's listening to how you talk. He's...
Come on now.
Live your life. That's living with Christ. That's living with Christ. As a pastor, you know, I guess that's a trip, you know. You know, I walk in sometimes and the room gets silent. why do you guys side? What were you talking about? That I can't hear. It's a trip. I'm not Jesus.
Come on
now. Now Jesus with me. Come on, somebody. Me and Jesus rode together.
Come on.
Live with Christ. These four things. Live with Christ. The last one. Is live in Christ.
Yes.
Is live in Christ. Live in Christ. The piano player can come up. If we have been baptized into Christ, we live in Him. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ," check this out, "have clothed yourselves with Christ." This is why it's important to get baptized. Amen. But it says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ." Like when you came tonight, right? You put on your clothes, right? I was wearing shorts today and a t-shirt. You know, here at the office, studying, getting some messages together. And I went home. I had to change clothes. Got my church clothes on. Come on, somebody. But it doesn't matter what church clothes I put on, what suit, what polo shirt, what shoe, what slippers. That doesn't matter. The main thing that matters is that am I putting on Christ?
Right.
It's not easy putting on Christ. It's not easy putting on Christ. Because to put on Christ is to put on the attitude of Christ.
Yes. Come on.
To put on the mind of Christ.
Yes.
It's to put on the words of Christ.
Good.
It's to put on the gentleness of Christ.
Yes.
To put on the forgiveness of Christ. It's to talk like Christ would talk. It's to put on Christ. To put on Christ. Live Christ. The living Christ. To the Christian, Christ is in all. To the Christian, Christ is all in all. Everything has to do with Christ. For the Christian, everything has to do with Jesus now. Everything has to do with Jesus. We used to sing a song in the men's home. Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the noontime. Jesus when the sun goes down.
Come on now.
I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on Jesus. If your mind is stayed on Jesus, you don't have to worry about her or him. What they said, what she said, what he said. If your mind is stayed on Jesus.
Come on now.
Stay on Jesus. Got it live in Christ. Everything has to do with Christ. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You got to understand that the very spirit that dwells within the Christian is the spirit of Christ. The Christian's mind is the mind of Jesus Christ. He sanctifies your mind. So living Christ includes these four things: living from Christ, living for Christ, living with Christ, living in Christ. Will you begin to live in Christ today? Will you continue to walk with Christ? Maybe this will help you to keep on walking with Christ. To keep on living for God. This will help me. Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I forget to put on Christ. Sometimes I'm not perfect. Sometimes Christ ain't all the time my source. But in those times where I feel weak, I feel discouraged, I feel like giving up.
Yes, come on,
and you know what I do? I return to the source.
Yes.
I return to the source. Maybe tonight some of you need to return to the source.
Amen.
I want you to stand to your feet here this evening. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happened to you today, this week. But I do know this. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. So tonight, if you're here, and this message spoke to your heart in any way, form, or fashion. Maybe the message spoke to you in a way to say, you know what, I want to do better living for Christ. Or maybe tonight you haven't given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've walked away from Jesus, and tonight you say, it's my night to give my life back to Jesus. Whatever you're going through, whatever it is, I'm going to open up these altars. You come, spend some time with Jesus. You come and get in his presence. Say, God, Jesus, here I am, Lord. I want to stay connected to you. You're my source. I want to put you on, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy, God. You're worthy, Jesus. Maybe you're doing okay, but you just want to exalt Jesus more. And you come. You just come and exalt Jesus. You come to the altar, lift your hands. Say, Jesus, I want to continue to live for you. Pour yourself into me even more.
For you.
to live for Christ. To live for Christ. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you gotta lock yourself up in a monastery somewhere, on a mountain somewhere. I ain't saying you all gotta go to the men's home and the women's home. No. Live for Christ at your job. Live for Christ in your neighborhood, in your family. When you put on Christ, take Christ to that barbecue. Take Christ to that family reunion. Take Christ to your job. And let His light shine through you. Because you put Christ on, you become the light of the world. It's no longer you live for you. It's no longer about what you want to wear. It's no longer about what you want to think. It's about living for Christ. And He's the giver of life. You want life, you want joy, live for Christ. He gives joy, He gives peace, He gives love. If we make Him our source. As every head is bowed and every eye closed here tonight. If you're here tonight. If you're here tonight. You want to surrender your life to Christ. Whether this is your first time, second, third, fourth, fifth, 20th time, He's a merciful God. Tonight you say, you know what, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to live for Christ. I want Christ to live in me. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. We don't want to leave this place without giving anybody an opportunity to do that. So if that's you, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what background you have, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter who you are, Jesus loves you. He wants to live with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to save you from your sins. The Bible says that our sins, we're dead in our sins, in our trespasses. But while we were in our sin, Christ died for us. It means He loves you. And you may be here and you feel Him knocking at the door of your heart. You feel something inside you never felt before. You feel a conviction. You feel a little uneasy. You feel like you want to cry. You want to break. I want to let you know that that's the presence of Jesus. He's tugging at your heart to surrender your life. And He wants you. He's knocking at the door of your heart so that you can surrender. So if that's you, anybody here, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody here? I want to give it back to Jesus. God bless you. Anybody else? Raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. 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 God sees your hand. Just keep your hands raised. Lift both your hands. A leader's going to come pray for you. A Christian's going to pray for you. Leaders, go pray for them. I want you to repeat these words. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me, for dying for me, for shedding your blood for me on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and wiping away my sins. Today, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my source. Come on me. Be with me. Stay with me. I know that you will not leave me nor forsake me. Lord, hold my hand and guide me. Heal me. Every disease, anything broken, whether it be my heart, my emotions, my mind, Heal me.
Heal me.
Fix me, Jesus.
Fix me, Jesus.
I need you in my life.
I need you in my life.
I believe,
that
you are,
the Son of God.
That you died on the cross
for my
sins.
And on the third day,
you resurrected
from the dead.
You have all power
to do everything.
And you can change me.
You can do a miracle
in my life.
Jesus,
I am yours.
And I surrender
to you.
I give you my life.
In the name of Jesus,
I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just break it. Worship it. Worship.